The second car I remember my dad owning was a Cadillac Cimarron. Came out in the 1980s and sported a very wondrous crimson color. It was definitely an upgrade for my dad, who had an Oldsmobile. After all, on the inside and the interior, with the dashboard, it had a digital display as opposed to an analog. Of course, acquiring a car takes a lot of saving up. And once one finds it, they hope to have it last for quite some time. But the car that he did obtain was used and actually had some hidden problems. Actually had a lot of problems, so much so that I remember the many times in which he would work on it in the driveway or bring it into the shop, and also bringing it to different places to get the parts, and ended up costing way, way, way more than the sticker price. It doesn't feel good to be duped. To know that you've fallen for the song and dance, the razzle dazzle. Or perhaps whenever you had invested yourself so much in your job, in your career, at school, only to find that someone else is receiving the accolades, or someone else's idea is being taken instead of your own. When we see the value in something, we don't have a problem investing time, effort, resources, because we know of the ROI, the return on investment. We know what's going to come. But as you and I have seen and witnessed, there have been many times when the things that we have hoped for in this world always seem to fail. Why spend your money for what is not bread? Your wages for what fails to satisfy? The Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, shares with us words that we already know. But if we were to take an honest look at ourselves, we realize just how many times that we have gone in pursuit of things that are frivolous, things that are trivial in comparison to the heavenly reward that God calls us to. And yet we do it anyways. We waste our time. We think that this is what's going to bring me happiness. This is what's going to bring me joy. This is what's going to get me out of that funk. And finally, give me some peace. And then when we have it, it brings delight. But it lasts only for a time. And then we are left wanting. We are left asking. We are left thinking, if we have been duped. All for what? What has it left us? What will never be a waste of our time is anything that we do for our faith. You recall the passage in the gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Why were they there? Well, they weren't there because they heard that farmers had showered Jesus with a cornucopia of food, and that, oh, he doesn't know what to do with it, so let's go and take it from him. Let's help him. He wasn't going to go and start a soup kitchen, and they figured, well, this is the best place for us to get a good meal. Why were they there? They were there because they had seen what Jesus had done. They were there because they had heard the message that he had for them. And it was something that was so utterly unique. Even scripture says that he spoke with such authority that even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, with all their training, failed in comparison. And so seeing the light that Jesus had, they were attracted to that. They wanted to hear from him. They wanted to be with him. They were so enamored by him, all for his sake. And interestingly enough, when their stomachs rumbled, Jesus provides them with food through a miracle. And this miracle was so amazing that they knew exactly what was going on. You know, last time when the people of God had fed on a whole bunch of miraculous food was back in Exodus, when Moses for 40 years led them through the desert. And so it rained, right? Manna, this bread from heaven. And so when the hearers of Jesus saw that this amount of people were being fed, they thought, this is the new Moses. This is whom we are looking for. That's why they wanted to cart him away and make him as king, put him on the shoulders, and just cry out praises to God, who has finally given them the deliverer. But you know, even as you know, I was praying about this, and you know, there's something that's very interesting about the words of Christ, the very initial response that he offers to his disciples. You know, they had said, you know, what are we going to do? What does he say? Feed them yourselves. Feed them yourselves. He's making a foreshadowing to his disciples. He's saying that, okay, perhaps you might not be able to feed them now, but you will. For you will be priests, and you will feed them with my body and blood. Jesus gives us his entire self in the Eucharist. You know, God is so madly in love with us, right? He doesn't play games. He doesn't say, well, I'll give them just a remembrance of myself, or just something in which they can kind of call to mind that it's me. He says, no, I give you my very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that Jesus Christ, in whom we worship, in whom we adore, in whom we recognize as risen from the dead and has ascended to the Father, that same Jesus is present in the Eucharist. And that is what he feeds us, always taking care of us. But the question remains, what is our primary focus in coming to Jesus? What is the primary focus of our faith? Why do we live our faith? You know, maybe we never had the opportunity to ask that question of ourselves, or maybe we haven't really dug into that, but we have to. We have to, not only for ourselves, but for this world that is so much in need of hope. Because it's only in Jesus Christ will we find that hope. It is only in Jesus that we will find the answers that we are looking for. That we will find ourselves not just being given something nice to reflect on, to think about, and to do, but something that will be lasting, something that will endure. Something that will spring from our hearts, this wellspring of love. Because it's God's grace. It's the love of the Father through the Holy Spirit poured out by his Son Jesus on the cross. So what's the primary reason we go to Jesus? Is it because we want something from him? We want him to fix something? We have a request? We have a complaint? Or is it because we are just like the 5,000 who recognize in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? That we see in him and just say, I just want to be with you. And if not, why not? So whenever we think, as much of a temptation it is for all of us, self included, we've got so many more important things to do than prayer, than practicing virtue and being charitable, having our 640 prayer. If we think we have more important things, then we need to ask ourselves, What is the food I'm working for? Have I unbelievably so fallen under the guise of the world with its razzle dazzle, with its song and dance? Or am I about bringing Jesus into this spiritually dying world so that others may find hope? What we do for our faith is never a waste of time. The Father is saying to us, it's all worth it. You're never, never going to be bamboozled for living out your faith. We might think that at moments, at times when it's difficult, at times when it's hard, when we've said, Father, years, I've been praying, I've been sacrificing, I've been offering things up, nothing has changed, things have gotten worse. Keep going. It's an exercise of faith that Jesus calls you to. And in that endurance, you're going to see fruit. And it might not even be during your lifetime. And that's one of the things, right? Didn't our Lord share with us? You know, sometimes you're going to go and reap things that you didn't plant. You didn't have any part in it, but that's okay. But then in the same token, you're also going to sow those seeds, but not be around to reap the fruit. And that's okay. It's about having faith. It's about having trust. It's about realizing that because we live and move in the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us in baptism and confirmation, that we live and breathe in a world that is beyond the physical, then there's a lot that can happen with every act that we make out of love for God. And we can't discount that. We can't say, oh, that's all I can do. That's all I can amount to. What can I do? I'm only one person. Lies. Lies of the evil one. Because Jesus has given us so much more. If he's given us his very life on the cross, why do we doubt that infused by that grace, we can't do anything? Earthly things will fail us. Maybe not intentionally, but it's because our hearts were made for more than this world. What you invest in time and effort to God will bear fruit. As Jesus freely given his life on the cross, we are invited to do the same. And the beautiful reality is that this daily living out of our faith, we won't end up with a lemon for a car, but a reward that will leave our hearts full.